the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, this is live TV at its finest. I don't even know if it's TV. Not sure what it is we call this, but I am live in color and impromptu from Helena, Montana. Never been there in my life. Flew in last night about 10 minutes till 10, I think it was, which would be 10 minutes till midnight. Set up our studio here real quickly this morning. I actually have my camera sitting on top of you'd have to see it to believe it. But welcome out here. I know I say this every week, every day. A lot going on. A lot of stuff I want to talk to you about. A lot of dots I want to connect. I flew out here last night to be here with Keith and Ray Neumeier over the kidnapping of their two children from Child Protective Services here in Helena, Montana. We're going to get into that a little bit today about what a scourge that is. Now, don't tune out. Say, I'm not interested in that. Don't tune out, because I'm going to try to make connect some dots that you certainly haven't connected. I'm going to have Keith come in here a little bit and tell some of his story, but I got some other dots I have to connect to that before we get rolling too much. This is the eighth day, getting my glasses on, ninth day of ninth day of December, and 2019. Honored to be here. Sorry, I'm kind of casually dressed and wearing my Y'all Need Jesus shirt, which always turns eyes in the airport, and I did last night as well. Hey, update on little Emmy, our little granddaughter, Emery. She did get transferred when I left y'all on Friday. She had to be transferred from our local hospital to Akron, which is about 2.5 hours by ambulance, whatever it was. And she has had pneumonia. She had two ear infections. She had this new little new virus going around. I mean, that's the thing about the flu shot, folks. If you get the flu shot, you understand that this year's flu shot is based off of last year's flu. There's no guarantee that the flu shot that you would take today even has the proper virus in it, all right? I posted something on Facebook about that the other day. People went crazy, thought I was against vaccines, which I am. But they didn't understand it. And so this is new little virus that's out. So Emmy had all that stuff, and she spent about one day in the hospital, Akron Children's Hospital. Got a lot of antibiotics. And, you know, Mike, I was thinking about Mike Heath the drug use and Pharmakia Friday and all that stuff. You know, drugs can be used in a good way, but man, we're the most drugged up group of people probably ever sitting on the face of the earth. We need a drug for this. No matter what it is, you need a pill for it. You need a drug for it. And they about went bonkers when my daughter told them that Emmy hadn't been vaccinated. I said, oh, what? One doctor about went ballistic. You haven't been vaccinated. She turned really hard against Maggie and Isaiah. She said, we don't even know if we can help you at this hospital. So praise the Lord they didn't. They shipped them off to someplace else, and Emmy didn't have to take any more vaccinations or anything like that. So appreciate all of you praying for us on that, because it was pretty traumatic in our house. A good thing about it was is Michelle and I got to have the two little granddaughters for three straight nights. It's a great bonding time. So praise the Lord on that one. I am out here with Keith and Ray Neumeier. We're going to jump in that a little here in just a second, but I want to cover a couple bases before I do, because this idea of kids being stolen from the Child Protective Services is a big deal all across America. Big deal. Having a little bit of trouble checking here. Go try to do two things at once. Larry, somebody come in and somebody do a little bit of talking here while I get myself situated over here on my other computer, which I don't really have that up and running yet. Somebody come in and do a little flea flicker Monday for me here real quickly.
Well, Coach, I was excited to hear about your stand against vaccines. There's way too many vaccines, way too early. And, you know, and same with some of the flu shots. You have no idea what's in the flu shot, if it's even going to work. But anyway.
Well, you know, it's come out of a blind acceptance of medicine, hasn't it? Really, it hasn't. I've been, you know, I jokingly been saying to you guys a lot that when I go to my doctor, I don't even want to go to my doctor anymore. I go to my doctor. He sits in front of a computer. He doesn't even come up and examine me. He sits in front of a computer and fills everything out. And what's his symptom? And the next thing you know, he comes and gives me a drug, right? So if that one doesn't work, come back and see me in 10 days and I'll give you another drug. And that's just kind of the way we are. We just think, you know, there's consequences, folks, to everything that you put into your body. You know, I've been following Jennifer Heath, or I have to have her back on the show, and the stuff that she's talking about enzymes and what happens to us when we put some of these drugs in our bodies, then just have just that one consequence that we think it does. And if you remember back, some of you my age, a little bit older, you remember a thing called SIDS. You remember that, Keith? SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. I had a cousin that died from SIDS. That was 40, 50 years ago, maybe even longer than that. SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. And then we have all this autism that's coming in, and you know, you're really a tinfoil hat guy when you begin to talk to your friends about not taking vaccines, because everybody does it. And I pointed out the other day that I'm not going to take that flu vaccine. And I pointed out how our local Kroger store, everywhere you look, had signs, free vaccines, free vaccines. What's going on with that? What is going on with that? So, our grandchildren, praise the Lord, have not been vaccinated. And we're not going to let him shoot anymore. Now, he got me gone, and I forgot what I was going to do. If I don't pull this up here, I can't talk about it. Somebody else come on in here. Help me out. Hello. I'm loading up here on my computer.
No, while we're waiting on Mike Heath's show this morning, we were discussing that all of the left or
hang on a minute. That's my guy.
Every one of their objectives seems end up in something that kills people. That a certain group or a certain segment of people will be gone. They'll be not anymore. So think of the Georgia Guidestones. And these Georgia Guidestones were put up, and I'm trying to Google right now exactly how many people they think should be on the face of the earth. And all of these people that get attracted to these various flash pan of the moment great ideas that are streaming around the world, like, boy, acceptance of homosexuality and transgenderism is just the best thing since apple pie, because it just promotes unity and togetherness. But what's the togetherness when there's only a very, 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 very minuscule percentage of people on the face of the earth that the people in charge of leading all of those movements think should be here? How many of us think that we are? I mean, it just boggles my brain that people are so gullible they will start following and coming on board with these programs when they are going to be one of the ones the other side that's leading the program wants to be dead and have them off the surface of the earth.
All those who hate me. Can you hear me, Jared?
Yeah.
All those who hate me love death. Folks, anytime, listen, we have to understand this. I could run down this road really, really quickly, right? There is no demilitarized zone in this battle. You understand what I'm telling you? There is no, you're either for the Lord or you're against the Lord. And unfortunately, medicine has taken a course against the Lord, right? You know, listen, it's rare. In fact, some people walk in and they'll go visit their doctor. And when they leave their doctor, they'll say, oh, he prayed for me. I have the most great Christian doctor. And you probably do. I'm not making fun of your doctor. But the reality of it is many of the medicines that are being put in you are not of the Lord, folks. They're just not. So there's consequences to all the things that we talk about. And as Mike Heath says on his show, Pharmakia Friday, there are good consequences, but there can also be dire consequences to pharmakia, to drug use and all that kind of stuff. So we thank God for all the drugs that have made us healthy, but we're really, really concerned about those who are who are doing other kinds of stuff too. So hey, I got my other screen up here. I want to apologize to you, Keith. Why don't you pull up a chair here real quick? I'm going to bring you in here because I want to connect some dots with you today. I want to connect some dots. In fact, let me start here, Jared. This is going to be Keith Neumeyer. He's going to come over here on the side of me. So let me. I'm working from two different computers here, folks. Bear with me. Jared, let's go to the links I just sent you. I got to go back and find them. I got a plant in my way here. There we go. And Jared, let's go to the stuff. And Jared, I want you, folks. I watched this Alex Jones. Jared, if you can, let's put this in the chat, okay? This Alex Jones video that he did. Somebody sent it to me. I don't know who it was. And I watched it. I watched it twice. It'll be in the chat, okay? It'll be in the huddle and chats down there. But Jared, I want you to pull that video up, and I want you to go to the 1 hour and 15 minute mark on this video. Thanks. Because listen, folks, there's some things that are going on that we really do not understand, and I'm going to try to connect some dots here with Keith, whose children have been stolen from him by Child Protective Services, and how wicked that organization is. I don't know if Bobby's in here today. I was going to try to get Bobby to be part of it as well, but just didn't get a chance to. But I want you to watch this video. Let me get rid of some of the stuff on my screen over here. I want you to. Two computers just drives me crazy. Let's go, Jared, here. All right, there I can see what's going on. Pull up that 1 hour and 15 minute mark of the Alex Jones show. And he's going to show a video, folks, that just kind of blew me away. It's only about 4 minutes, okay? Go ahead and play that, Jared.
Or John D. Rockefeller, who funded the whole enchilada with Henry Ford. Let's go ahead and go to this report. And that'll be it for this transmission. Please share it. Thank you, crew. Great job. And please remember, BigSalesInfoWarsStore.com. It's a revolutionary idea to fund this operation. Huge sales right now. Please do your Christmas shopping with us. You're really missing out if you don't get these products. They're really amazing.
For many of us, this idea of transgenderism seems brand new.
It is man!
But the movement we are seeing today was born 100 years ago. The founding fathers of this transgender movement were of the same culture as the eugenics crowd. The media push for transgenderism happened 60 years before Bruce Caitlyn Jenner. In 1952, George Jorgensen became the first American to undergo a sex change operation. After learning about the procedure in the U.S. Army, he went to Denmark, where he was given special permissions from the Danish Minister of Justice to undergo several sexual reassignment operations. George Jorgensen became Christine Jorgensen and was instantly taken in by Hollywood and made an advocate for the transgender community. Her influence through pop culture made transgenderism and sex change operations more normal and acceptable. We then see it in the universities. Gender identity research began in 1962 at UCLA, and the gender identity clinic at Johns Hopkins was performing sex reassignment surgeries by the late 1960s. In 1969, the Marshall-Tanner study created the term precocious puberty, which is defined as a disorder and diagnosed when a child shows signs of puberty too soon. According to the study, too soon is age 8 for girls and age 9 for boys. Precocious puberty doesn't physically harm the child, and yet it was considered a disorder. Just 2 years later came the discovery of gonadotropin-releasing hormone, GnRH, what we know today as puberty blockers. And it was immediately prescribed to those diagnosed with precocious puberty to halt the natural hormonal process in their bodies. And why? Because two men wrote a paper that suggested it was emotionally bad for children to undergo puberty before everyone else. In 1980, the American Psychiatric Association's APA added gender identity disorder into the DSM-3, which opened the coffers of taxpayer healthcare funds to pay for sexual reassignment costs. Without FDA approval or any studies on the drug's long-term effects, they are injecting Lupron and other brands of puberty blockers into children, and doctors are being paid to prescribe them. In 2001, the makers of Lupron paid an $875 million settlement to the Department of Justice for giving illegal kickbacks to doctors in exchange for prescribing Lupron to their patients. This company is now the sixth largest independent biotech company in the world, with a revenue of over $32 billion in 2018. The company is also connected with the Clinton Global Initiative and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. In 2007, Boston Children's Hospital began transitioning children as young as 3 years old. From 2000 to 2014, gender-affirming surgeries have increased fourfold and up another 20% the next 2 years. Private funding of transgender issues increased eightfold during this time, from the Pritzker family, George Soros, Warren Buffett, and others. The Department of State has allocated over $30 million of taxpayers' money to advance this agenda. Planned Parenthood is now the second largest provider of gender-affirming hormone therapy. And their website states that they prescribe puberty blockers to children with permission from a parent or guardian. They claim that this is an issue of reproductive rights, so there is no therapy required and there is no mental health professional involved. A child can receive puberty-blocking drugs on their very first visit. In 2019, the Australian Psychological Society said hospitals should have the right to petition courts and change the parents' minds who do not want to alter the sex of their child. South Dakota voted against a bill that would have allowed parents to refuse medical treatment for their child with gender dysphoria. This means that if a parent doesn't go along with the child's sexual reassignment, the child could be removed from the family due to medical neglect. Four states in the U.S. have already made it law to teach transgender studies in schools to children starting in kindergarten. The CIA now serves as a corporate sponsor for the National LGBT Conference. Less than 1% of the population identifies as transgender. They have a suicide rate 19 times that of everyone else. Almost half attempt suicide. And our society is selling this as a healthy solution to your children. Whatever the intended purpose is, it has already normalized the abuse of children. It threatens the future viability of our very own species. It is destruction and it is death, and it is growing. For Infowars.com.
That's pretty wicked. You say, Coach, where are you going with this? Stay with me, okay? Stay with me. I'm going to get to Keith here in a second. I'm trying to connect some dots. Remember this. All those who hate me love death, folks. All those who hate me love death. And if they can change, why the big push? We just heard less than 1%. Why the big push on transgenderism and surgeries? It's all attack on the natural reproductive nature of the human being, particularly the male. Now, I got to go somewhere, Keith. I promise I'm bringing you in here in a second. Jared, go to an email that I just sent you. It says Drew on it. Because, folks, I get thousands, not thousands. Yeah, okay, over the course of that, I get thousands of emails. And I got this one from a guy this weekend, and I want to share it with you, okay? Because as Mike Heath would attest to, and others in here, but certainly Mike would attest to, if you want to become hated in a very, very short period of time, begin to speak out against the gay homosexual agenda. If you take a firm stance against the homosexual agenda, you're going to end up being hated by both sides. I'm going to tell you the truth. You're going to be hated by those who are trapped in that in homosexuality, those who love those who are trapped in homosexuality. You're going to be attacked by church people who think we just love. Y'all know what's going on, right? Y'all with me? I get hundreds, hundreds of emails of attacks. This last weekend was unbelievable. Anytime Right Wing Watch or somebody like that posts a comment, an article that I wrote or something, they always attack me. So that happened again this weekend. But I got this one in particular. And I just want to share this with you. It says, I have read a few things you have said publicly on social media. And I would bet that deep down, you're not a hater. This guy writes to me. You just don't understand. Why would anyone choose to be gay? Are you gay? They always go there. Closet, are you in the closet? Come on out, it's safe. Why would anyone choose to be gay? Are you gay? Are you fighting it? Did Jesus Christ tell you to hate on earth? What is your deep-rooted problem? Be honest. Don't be mean. We are all the same. Scroll up, Jared. I can't hardly see it. So here was my response. I said, honestly, both you and I know it isn't about individual gayness. It's about recruiting and indoctrinating young people. I'm heading someplace, Keith. If you want to use drugs in the privacy of your own home, I have no issue. But when you want to teach it as normal to young kids, I'm compelled to speak out. Homosex isn't a right, no matter how much the gay mafia says it is. Why don't homos keep their perversion to themselves? Why must they indoctrinate our grandkids? Now, I never heard back from him. Point being what? Folks, this issue is more than about being the sex police. Do you understand that? It's more than about the sex police. It's an attack on our children. Many of them, I have to be careful what I say here as I get ready to bring Keith in. Many, this is the number one agenda, I believe, in child protective services. I don't know if Bobby Lee's with us today. I wish he was. Not the number one agenda. Not that they want to turn children into, not that they want to mess with them sexually, but this, many, many, many of those who support this type of therapy, call it whatever you want to, have infiltrated into child protective services. And their goal is to separate the best they can the parents from the child. Now, we hear this. We think with child protective services that they're going out and they're rescuing the crack babies and the parents who don't take care of their kids. And we all agree that those kind of kids have been. But see, it's like everything else. They take a problem and then they expand outside of that problem. And now they're almost a monolithic organization within themselves, child protective services. Stay with me. Trying to lay a foundation here. So Keith Neumeyer, and his wife, Ray, had their two children snatched from them by Child Protective Services 4 years ago. It's been a four-year battle. Still trying to get them back. In fact, the oldest child's now 18 years old. She's an adult, but Keith is still not allowed to respond to his own daughter. Child Protective Services has a order out that they cannot, and that they have a 12-year-old son that they're not allowed to have any kind of communication with it. There doesn't seem to be any workaround on how we can do it. Folks, this is a bigger problem. I'm trying to connect it. So Keith, sorry for chasing you around the tree like that. Just go ahead real quickly and just give us an overall view of what happened to your family.
Thanks. Well, real quickly, my wife and I got to say we got both our kids through adoption. And we didn't adopt both of them at the same time. So we had to go through the adoption process twice. And, of course,
cost a lot of money.
A lot of money. But mostly I want to point out there's all kinds of requirements. We had to have home studies written by social workers, psychological evals, just an ongoing.
So they had to brainwash you first before they would let you adopt. Is that kind of what it was, Keith?
Oh yes, and then everybody had to agree on it. Since we adopted overseas, it all has to be translated and approved by that government over there. So
who's writing these policies? Who's writing these policies, folks? That's where the infiltration is taking place. Go ahead, Keith.
And we were blessed to adopt a wonderful young son. It went so well that, he was back. He, of course, had a difficult time with all the changes, but after a few months, he's like, I love it here.
You rescued him.
Don't want to go back.
You rescued him out of foster care into the family, right? And then
out of an orphanage.
That's what we want everybody to do, right? Rescue him out of an orphanage. What country was that, Keith?
Ukraine.
Ukraine. You had to go to the Ukraine to adopt these children. This has been quite a story. Keep going here, man. I interrupt a lot.
So then we went and did it again. We came back home with a daughter. I'll just say she had issues we didn't know about, but nothing common. And then as soon as...
She lived as an orphan. What'd you tell me, Keith? For 13 years?
Yes, 13 out of 14 years.
She'd been in an orphanage for 13 out of 14 years. And Keith and his wife, Ray, go and adopt this young girl. Bring her into the house.
And
so let's go, Keith. Let's move her. What happened with CPS? So what happened here?
So she didn't have any issues that weren't, not uncommon for kids.
Teenager.
What she'd been through. Yeah, teenager. And so as soon as that happened, though, CPS got involved, and there was no evidence of any.
So she goes to somebody and complains, I'm scared, or whatever it would be, right?
Right.
Goes to somebody at school and says something. Next thing you know, here they come knocking on your door, huh?
And then they're saying, oh, well, we have to do this to prevent abuse. There's a possibility of abuse. Somebody's afraid of abuse, and that's all the evidence that we need.
Now, we don't want kids abused, right, Keith?
No.
Thank God they're protecting abused children. But to be able to come into your house and turn your family upside down based on what they think could be going on, that's what we're dealing with, isn't
right,
it?
Right, right. And so then, you have especially our son being traumatized by somebody being taken out. So the bottom line, as Coach said, really, both the kids today, truthfully, are showing severe signs of damage. They both want to be, well, at least the son we know, both still wants to be back home. But the caseworker who, if you read his story, he's totally...
Okay, but let's stay. What's the order they put against you, Keith? There's some type of order. You're not allowed to even see him or respond to him on Facebook. What's that order called?
A no contact.
A no contact order. Child Protective Services have put a no contact order on Keith and Ray Neumeier against the two adopted children. Both of them from Ukraine, Keith?
Yes.
Both of them from the Ukraine. Now, I don't want to get caught in the weeds here. I don't want to say anything that might cause Keith to jeopardize any type of case that he has trying to get his family back. We're here today because after 4 years, we're going to try to do what Gideon did, make noise and shine light and bring some attention. Then at least this order would be lifted off of Keith so he can... The daughter's 18 years old and he's still not allowed to have contact with her. 18 years old and the son is what, 14 now, did you say, Keith, or 12? 12 years
old.
What
does she want?
Not even allowed to respond to a Facebook post, not allowed to email, not allowed to call, not a no contact ruling. So
what's the daughter want?
I'm out here over the next couple of days. Somebody come on in, I hear you.
What's the daughter want, Coach? What's the daughter want?
Well, it doesn't matter because the protective order goes up until 21. Is that what it is? Not protective order, but the
it's no a question. Contact order
until 21, Keith? Is that what it is?
I don't know that it ever expires.
She's in Texas right now, Mark. So I don't really – listen, I don't want to get into the real deep particulars of it because
– The question is what does the daughter desire to do in the situation?
No, not in Child Protective Services, Larry. She's 18 years old.
I'm not talking about the legality of it, whether her desire could be met or not, but what is her desire?
What is her desire, Keith?
Well, we don't ultimately know.
They're not allowed to talk to her, Larry, but she seems to be opening a door for some communication at least, right? They can't even call and say, hey, how you doing, honey?
Oh, no.
No contact at all with them, right? No contact.
And that includes, no Christmas cards or presents, nothing like that. It's totally designed to erase us from the kids.
So listen, I hear you. Before you jump in there, I hear you. You say, well, he surely did something. Look at him. He surely did something. They asked him. Child protector. Hey, folks, wake up. You wake up to what's going on in the good old U.S. of A. I met his wife, Ray, last night for the first time. Sweetest, godly woman that you could. It's amazing. And this kind of thing is going on all across America. So I met Keith when I was out here about 6 weeks ago. He asked me if I would come. That's why we're here. And for the next 2 days, we're going to be on the streets. We're going to try to bring pressure on. I wish Bobby was here because Bobby could tell us how this wicked, evil system works, right? This is who gave Child Protective Services so much power that they can tell this guy that he can't see his adult daughter, right? She's 18 years old. There's no recourse. Who do you go to? Well, they have a lawsuit trying to go through the courts, but somebody come in. I'm going to shift gears here. Go ahead. Come on in.
Do you involve with any church where that can step in and be numbers for you?
Well, the original church we were involved in is, they were, even though we had our son in church school there and everything, they were.
Nobody wants to get involved, right? Yeah. Nobody wants to get involved.
You can't make waves. Now, the church we have now, they are supporting us. And at the time, if you read our story, the pastor and a number of people at the church were supportive of us. And
hey, hang on a second. Hey, Randy, where you live, Randy, what does support look like? Is this support? Praying for you, Keith. Is that what support looks like when you live? Is that it? And send him a card. Send you a card on Christmas. Sorry, you don't have your kids. We support you. Is that what support looks like, folks? Can a church get away and say, well, we support you. We support you. How do you support you? Well, we pray for you at night. That's not what support is it, Randy? Is that what support is, Larry? Is that what support looks like? Patting him on the back. Dale, is that what support is? Or, see, we're in this mess because we won't raise up. People won't raise up. Say, we support him. We support him. I support him. I flew about 2,400 miles one way. I support him. I don't even know him, really.
Yeah.
But here's a guy. We're fire starters here, right? Here's a guy who needs some help. And the people that you would expect to help won't help. I hear you. They say they won't help because they know Keith's guilty. Well, go ahead and believe that if you want to. Go ahead and believe that it's the job of the government to separate families. If you think that's right, see if things function properly. If Keith was out of line with his family, it'd be the job of the pastor and the church to restore that family, not go to the government, let the government rip the child away from him. Come on in, somebody.
Well, the government's not doing anything else negative to the children, Coach. No, I don't understand it, right?
It's always for the children. Always for the
that's
children.
That's right, for the children.
That's why I showed that video from Alex Jones, because see, this is, folks, this is a part of a deeper, darker. We don't understand how deep and dark evil is.
Maybe they
figured out. We don't understand that they are after the destruction of our children.
Amen.
If they get our children, they destroy the family. Go ahead, somebody.
More likely than not, they figured out she's in a wholesome home, and they didn't bring her here to America to figure out that she needs to be raised properly. You know, what's the difference in Epstein bringing all them women here and us letting the government put her into the system?
It's just Epstein's a different system, isn't it?
It's same system.
Yeah, it's the same system. You're
same
right.
People. Clinton's the one doing it when he was president. It's the government. That's what this deep state's about. All these people are scurrying because they've been on the receiving end of these women. Or children.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, listen, this is Bobby. I'll jump in here.
Hey,
I haven't,
Bobby. Thanks, Bobby.
Hey, I haven't heard this whole show. I've got in here kind of late and I'm at work and I can't stay that long. But the point is, a big part of this problem is the parents across the board in the nation. They believe the psych diagnosis. They believe whatever they're told. Now, I did see some of that clip that you showed about the DSM-3. These psych diagnoses are created out of social and political issues and pressures of the time. They just, a few years ago, they just created the DSM-5, a whole new slew of psych diagnoses such as shift work disorder. And they removed, they magically removed Asperger's, which is a branch off of autism. That just vanished. I don't know how that miraculous, I don't know how God cured that quick, but the point is, it's gone. So to take it deeper, I wasn't qualified to give psych diagnoses, but based upon the behaviors I describe across a region over a phone, so-and-so PhD is going to give this person, is going to bless them with a psych diagnosis based on what I say. Now, it's quackery. The psychological...
Bobby, for people who don't know, you worked in the field. You were a caseworker.
I wasn't a caseworker. I was a mobile therapist, a rapid response therapist. Okay. I had a lot of power to do things, and I made things happen. If I wanted somebody,
Keith's kids got snatched in, right, Bobby?
Yeah. The system. Yeah, somebody complained. Some teacher, I didn't hear how. I don't know entirely how it was done, but probably somebody complained. Maybe a teacher. In comes CNY. They do an investigation, and based upon the radical belief system of that worker, these kids can be removed. And most of the surrounding support people are almost—they're weak. Almost all of them are very mentally weak. There's very few people like me that will push the boundaries. And say what needs to be said in these meetings. Most of the workers are soft, feminized men, and literally walking around with no answers to anything. Look into the PhDs or the upper level master levels people that also have no answers to anything other than medication. That that's the only thing they got. And I saw that years ago, and then that's why I stepped out into that world and became much more verbal, controlling what goes on around me. And I literally worked to protect my families from the CPS worker. Unless it was so out of control, I needed to get these people involved.
So Bobby, would it be possible? Jared, I'm going to try to do two things at once here. Hang on, Bobby. Jared, I want you to just do a Google search on child protective services kidnapping children. Just do a Google search on that. But Bobby, is it possible that, let's say 10 years from now, let's say 5 years from now, they're going to find out that I have not vaccinated my children. And because I haven't vaccinated my children, some caseworker is going to come into my house. And they're going to say, Coach, if you don't vaccinate your child, we're going to take your child out there for the good of the child. Bobby, how far out are we from that kind of thing?
That's exactly where it's heading, Coach.
That's right. That's the point.
About 10 minutes, Coach. You're about 10 minutes out.
What do you mean I'm 10 minutes out?
You're only about 10 minutes out of that happening. We're there. This is not future tense.
You mean somebody could knock on your door today?
Right now. That's right, Larry. Especially with your deeply held Christian religious beliefs. Right, Larry? Folks, this is so critical and so huge. This is such a big... That's why we've kind of put... I haven't really said much about this. We've kind of made this an equal justice tour event because this is what it's about. These are the type of things that somebody has to rise up and be able to fight against the thing. Now, Jared, did you do that Google search for me? I know you did. I always ask you to. Jared, look, just one Google search. Look what comes up on Child Protective Services kidnapping children. Look at all the links that show up. Just scroll down there, Jared. Stop Child Protective Service from legally kidnapping. Is Child Protective Service kidnapping and trafficking children? Stop CPS from legally kidnapping. It's page after page after page after page after page. Folks, this kind of stuff is going on for sure. And it's being masqueraded or hidden as something else. Keith, I haven't let you say much. Come on in. come on in if you got something to add.
So, and also, so really quick, they always have the same methodology. If they ever take a kid, they will insist to their dying day that that child is doing so well, so much better without his parent.
They got him out of your house.
Bad, now bad echo good. Can't hardly.
Not, hey, not only that, they got him out of Keith's house, and they finally got those kids vaccinated. Boy, we were so worried about those kids catching the measles. And Keith, he's a religious Christian guy, and he wasn't going to vaccinate him. And we heard that poor girl was scared at Keith's house. So we went in there and rescued him, and now she's got all of her vaccination. You see what, folks, you see this? Do you understand the depth of the evil of what we're dealing with?
Hey, Coach. Coach, hold on, wait. I want to get this out, and then I'll jump off. I'm sorry, whoever I just stepped on, but I got to get this out. Right. Listen, this is a massive money-making industry. When I was leaving this field, I had a family of four, and I would be with these people for 2-3 years plus sometimes. A family of four removed from the home in foster care at $1,000 a month. Well, it's $5,000 overall, but $1,000 goes to the foster family. This is a massive money-making industry. And aside from that, how dangerous this is, depending on the state, you can do Google searches on foster care kids disappearing, sometimes 75 in a year. Right down here.
They used to have milk cartons, didn't they? Used to have milk cartons, Bobby?
Right down here in Quakertown, PA, 2.5 years ago, we just had a 14-year-old that was under the care, that was in foster care with a former foster care children and youth worker that was in charge of foster care, okay? Now, that woman lived out sexual fantasies with this 14-year-old, with her and the boyfriend, dismembered the 14-year-old, buried the girl in the backyard, and this was found and discovered, and that woman's in jail now. But the point is, that woman was in charge of foster care for children and youth, the state worker. You really need parents across nationwide really need to stop believing what they're told by people in the human service field. And they cannot believe the psychological DSM-5.
Bobby, do you run into a lot of conservatives in the child protective services? Or do you run into some of those? Well, you know what I'm talking about, right? That's what you run into, isn't it, Bobby?
No, you're not gonna find almost any conservatives in CPS. If they're there, they're gonna use that job real quickly and step on and out or up to something else. The people.
Hey, Bobby, I didn't even think of this. Keith, did you guys homeschool?
No, we had one time we had both our kids in private religious school.
Oh, that's just as bad. See what's going on? So, hey, so those of you who won't vaccinate your kids, and those of you who are homeschooling your kids, and those of you who are teaching your children the homosexuality is sin. Don't let them find out about that.
Coach, let me ask you a question.
Coach, I got to ask you a question, Coach.
Yeah.
How did they know you didn't vaccinate? How did they know you're in a private school? How do they know, Keith? You're in the database. You volunteer to be in the database.
That might be basic for all these other questions coming on. So that we know what the picture is, what were the accusations against you for the reason they took your children away? So that we know the background of where they're coming from.
By the way, last week, I'll try to get that thing posted. I had a great article from Bradley Dean's group, my brain went dead, with all the history on it. But what did they accuse you of, Keith?
So, originally, they just said, oh, we've got to take the kids because, you know, the daughter's behavior and she's afraid of being abused. And, you know, you take these kids from such a poor country and she doesn't want to live with you. That means that, you know, you're really.
So she went to some. She went to some guidance counselor, and this girl was a. She was in a. What do they call it? Where they keep them? An orphanage for her whole freaking life, right? And now she comes over here, and they're trying to give her a home. And she gets into the guidance counselor. Somebody's talking to her. Oh yeah, my dad said this. Oh, he did. He said that. What? You scared? Yeah, I'm scared. Yeah. Boom, boom, gone. Right, Keith? Pretty much.
Yeah, and then the. Thing is, always happens strangely. It doesn't make sense in our case. It's in many other cases in our state. You know, the daughter says, or the child says, oh, you know, this happened, or my dad was mean, mom was nice. And then as time goes by, they, you know, they encourage these kids to always keep up in their stories. And so as time goes
they coach
by.
Them. They coach them.
Oh, yeah. She's, as time goes by, the obligations are that they are both physically abused.
I've been charged. You've been in jail or anything? Have you done it? They charge you anything? Throw you in jail?
Nope. Never been arrested in my life, and neither has my wife.
So they haven't charged you with abuse of these children or anything like that? No, none of that stuff. None of that stuff. They just decided that probably a little bit too Christian and just probably, you know, they, well, you know how this game's played, right? Come on, folks. Somebody come on in. I feel
hey,
you
coach.
This morning. Yes.
I bet if he renounced Christ and said he was going to raise him up as a transgender child, he'd have gotten him right back right away.
Yeah, that's an idea. Maybe we should do that with our scientists this morning.
Listen, that's exactly why I played the Alex Jones clip to begin. To understand this is a spiritual issue again, folks. It's a spiritual, and it's the infiltration of the demonic world. You'll like that one, won't you, right wing watch? It's the infiltration of the demonic world into the family, into the children, folks. They're after the children. Remember, Jesus said, suffer not the little children to come unto me, for thus is the kingdom of God. They are after our children. Drag queen shows in libraries, the homosexual agenda, the transgender agenda in government. 1% that thinks that. Maybe 1% are transgender. Maybe 1%. And you would think it's one out of every other kids with the attention and the focus and the curriculum all being. Who said our kids ought to learn about transgenderism in school? Who came up with that idea? And why are we so passive and silent in the face of all that? Come on in, somebody.
Coach, this is Joseph.
Hey, Joseph.
This is my story of my own child. My own biological child, and we were homeschooling him, and we took him to a doctor for some issues he had, and that doctor asked my child, how does he feel at home? And he says, well, he would rather be at school and stuff. So once she did that, she told my my wife that we were going to have protective custody of this area getting child custody getting in contact with you about issues for your child, you homeschooling. But luckily, my wife and I had lawyers. There's a lawyer firm out there that protects homeschool students just for this.
That's homeschool Legal story. Defense Fund, yes, sir.
Right, that's my story. And hey, they come
listen, after listen, hang on a second, I'm sorry. Hey, Keith. You guys sitting down? You guys sitting down? They spent a lot of money adopting their children. They had to go overseas. You can't listen. We murder so many babies here in America. Everybody thinks that adoption is easy. There aren't any babies to adopt, folks. The only babies out there that are being adopted and probably those who are handicapped in some way. I'm not making light of that. We certainly ought to adopt those. But if you wanted to adopt a healthy child, you get on a waiting list. It's hard to do. It costs a lot of money. It's not easy to do. If we stopped aborting them, maybe it'd be easier. But you listen to this. So Keith and Ray said, we'll go overseas. We're going to work on overseas because there are a lot of people that do that. So they spent a lot of money to get these two children. Now, Keith, how much money have you spent trying to get these two children back?
Well, honestly, we spend about twice as much trying to get them back as we spend to adopt it.
So they adopt them over here, and then the government comes in. That's Child Protective Services is the government. The government comes and gets them, and then they got to get attorneys to fight the government from stealing their own children. It's
okay. So let's develop a strategic plan, Coach.
All right.
Somebody just said, declare that you're going to start infiltrating them. That you're going to raise these children transgender. Get them back. Get those kids back in your house, and then we surround the house. Okay, come and get them.
Yeah, amen. But Jack,
we've got to get strategic.
We do. But the problem is, possession is 9/10 of the law, right? Once they get those kids, it's tough getting them back. That's the issue, see?
Right, and the other thing I've got to say is, you know, they still have most of the world believing that, oh, we only take kids. I mean, they'd have you thinking, I can't drive a car. My house is about to blow over right now, isn't it,
Coach? Yeah, especially since he's a Christian, right? We know exactly that's a horrible home.
About Keith, I had high respect for the American justice system until I ended up in jail for months waiting for a trial for a crime that never even happened. What I was accused of had never even happened. And yet I spent months in jail waiting for a trial for a crime that didn't happen.
That's where we are. And I said to my wife the other day, this all connects to me. Folks, would any of you right now watching this show ever feel confident if you found yourself in a battle, legal or whatever, with any government agency? Would you feel like you were going to get a fair deal, fair shake? Child Protective Services is a government agency, right? They protect their own. And that's what we're dealing with. And again, come back to where we began. The churches don't want to make waves. The pastors certainly don't want to make waves. They might end up, the news media might come by. The news media might come by and say, well, they have this child molester in their church, and the church is trying to help get this child. And you know what Keith did, and you know what Ray did. And so the pastor, they don't want to deal with it, right? The enemy is so good at what he does, so good at what he does. I got about 12 more things I want to get after, but I know some of you still want to get in here. Come on in.
Coach, even in your case you have right now with your child being sick,
right?
I would get hold of the lawyer system that you have for homeschooling.
Well, that's smart, Joseph.
Yeah.
Because my daughter, if I had my daughter on there, Maggie said that the doctor was horrified that little Emmy at 12 months hadn't had shots. Can you folks? We're putting shots in little babies. What? Yeah, Joseph, I'll take that advice. Thanks.
Tell your daughter, hey, Coach, tell your daughter to identify as Japanese. They don't immunize until they're 2 years old. Tell her to say, hey, I identify as Japanese.
Or Amish. Amish.
Coach, yes, trans Amish. I'm trans Amish. I'm trans Amish.
It's absolutely normal. It's been defined. It's our baseline that we all have shots. Before there were shots, people died and this and that, but we didn't have the treatment and food and all the other things too. So who knows if the shots fixed it all. But
welcome to the
what time, how long is it going to be? How long is it going to be before everyone thinks it's normal to be chipped? Okay, so right now it's not normal, just like probably all these vaccinations, but soon that could be regulated too. So if we allow vaccinations to be mandatory, like those articles I sent over, then we're going to be signing up for all biomedical treatment, not just vaccinations. They'll change our bodies the way they want them, and if we don't do it, they'll take our children.
As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And what were they doing in the days of Noah? Folks, they were messing with the seed. Right? Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. I don't want to get in too deep for you, but what do you think the whole idea of the Nephilim and the mixing of the seed was all about? And we're told not to do that.
Why did the women have those garbs, Coach? The Muslim women have those headpieces so they can hide from the Nephilim. That's because the government, the Nephilim at the time, or the authority, they came after the ones hiding to do their body changes. So they selected people. Isn't that what they're doing with the children and vaccinations? They're selecting a group to change them, to put fetal tissue in them, and all of this other metal and chemicals and poisons, formaldehyde. They're doing it. They're selecting and doing it, just like the Nephilim.
They're doing it right
exactly,
now.
Exactly, Coach. They're doing absolutely.
It
right now. Jared, one more thing. I just got to get this in here because I just got to get it in here. Jared, pull up the thing that says grids. See, World's AIDS Day was just 2 days ago. I was going to go over that, but go to grids because I want to make sure that you guys understand something that to me is critically important. Hey, look at me. You can't trust science. You cannot trust science. Science has been politicized, folks. It's been politicized. Now, you wouldn't believe the number of people I shock with this one little thing that we're going to throw up on the screen right now. Grids. Grids. Let me get back here where it is, Jared. See if you got it up on the screen here. I'm a little bit slow here today, Jared. Grids. Now, this is Wikipedia, which you can't, this isn't, right? This isn't the gospel, okay? Just Google grids. What is grids? Why, it's gay-related immune deficiency syndrome. Did you know when AIDS was first discovered, it wasn't AIDS, folks. It was grids. Why was it grids? Because you got the disease from gay-related activities. So I'll let your mind run wild on what those gay-related activities were, right? It's right here on your screen. In May 11th, 1982, that's my son's birthday. That's my son's birthday. It was known as GRIDS in May 11th, 1982, article in the New York Times, GRIDS. And then they turned it into acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Acquired. Oh, of course you acquire it. How do you acquire it? You acquire it by engaging in male-on-male homosexual sex, right? And now for us to point it out, now we're hateful, bigoted, right? See, science has changed right in front of us because why? It's been politicized. It's been politicized. Why do they want your children vaccinated? Now, I feel really bad because I bet Robert's got a great reading to do today. Robert, I didn't bring the book with me. I got 4 minutes. I'm still reading this gay-related immune deficiency thing. They call it the gay cancer, the gay plague. Do you know that despite what they might tell you, AIDS is still an epidemic? And do you know who's spreading AIDS? Yeah, you know who it is. No. It's not through blood transfusions, although it does happen. No. If a woman gets AIDS, she got it from a man who had AIDS, boys and girls. It's now a sexually transmitted disease because men and women sleep with men and women. But AIDS, so for the guy who sent me the email, why'd I go on and on and on about homo sex? It's right there before us. So I did because I love children. I love this country. I love what's happening to this country because of fake science, politicized science, and those who call evil good and good evil. That's it. Hey, come on, there's nothing new under the sun. This isn't that hard. What do we got here? Got a couple minutes, please.
Coach. Wrap it up. Coach, can I drop one little one on you?
Yeah, go ahead, Jack. Although you never drop a little one. Go ahead.
Okay, if you don't want the government knocking on your door, stop giving them the key to the front door of your house by participating in their database. You give them permission when you give them your biometrics and accept their ID.
Mm.
Have fun with that.
That wasn't a little one, Jack. That was a big one. That was a big one.
It's about pulling out of the system, Coach. Yep. Jack's right. I'm not an isolationist, but God's showing me get out of these systems, and I'm doing it a little bit at a time, but we have to get out of the system.
Hey, I hate to say this. We know there's fake news now, don't we, Randy? It's obvious. There's fake news. There's fake government. There's fake health. There's fake medicine. There's everything. Fake, fake, fake. Why? Because the battle's against the truth and against the falsehood. It has never changed. Until we wake up, those of us who know the truth and understand the truth, as I said the other day, and start making noise and shining light, we have got to do this. We've got to wake up others, and we have to become more and more radical in our attempts to do that.
Appreciate all of you. We'll give you a little bit more of the story tomorrow. We'll be on the streets today. We'll be on the streets tomorrow. And we're going to try to do exactly what Gideon did, and that's to shine light, make noise, wake people up to exactly what's going on. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.